here's what I think the song's really trying to say. We got a lot of coaches here. They're expert recruiters. They pretty much tell the recruit whatever they want to hear. I think this is in a roundabout way of saying, hey, whatever sounds good to you, that's exactly what I'm trying to say here.
But
right
now.
That's a good
as,
down.
As men.
Yeah.
Hey, of course I go to porcelain doll festivals on Saturdays.
Yeah. I've read a lot of books by that person.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you'll fake it.
I think everybody has
their own sort of experience with that.
I mean, yes, yeah.
Again, I've said this before. I'm not embarrassed. It worked out, whatever. I got very into Ultimate Frisbee for like a year.
Yeah, really?
She wears the name. She's a bunker.
All right. I know what you're about to say.
It's not a negative comment. It's just an observation. You do look like one who would play Ultimate Frisbee.
I suppose I have a tie-dye shirt on right now.
Hey, that's my favorite shirt you wear.
Yeah, but well, I think of that as being.
Lily made it for me.
I know. That's my favorite shirt.
I think of that as being sort of a Pacific Northwest thing. Now, it probably isn't, but I think of it as being something like that.
It might be. It was when I lived in the Pacific Northwest. Brandon Adams joins us here from Dog Nation, host of the Dog Nation Daily Podcast. As things are kind of wrapping up, I know there's still a couple more coaches to speak. I know Sam Pittman's up on stage right now from Arkansas. Just big picture, how have you enjoyed the 4 days? What have you felt like you've sort of learned from the 4 days, if anything?
I think it's been relatively uneventful. I think it's been good that most of the conversation has been about football. The other stuff, playoff, that's here a little bit. But the SEC did so much of that at the spring meetings in Destin that had been taken care of. And so most of this conversation has been about some of the football stuff. I do think it's interesting. This is obviously coming from, my own personal perspective. Georgia, the reigning SEC champ, sort of came in, got out. There wasn't a ton of fanfare for that, despite the fact they beat Texas twice. It's amazing how little people seem to remember that. I don't know. It just sort of – I thought that Georgia had a very quiet appearance here on Tuesday for a team that did win this league a year ago.
I talked to – when we had Kirby on Tuesday, BA, and I wrapped up our great conversation with saying, are you guys under the radar?
Yeah.
Are you guys underrated? And he was like, not underrated, but kind of more under the radar. Is that a sense you got around here?
I mean, I hope that's true. And I'm a Georgia partisan. People know that. So I hope that this is – Georgia doing what it likes to do, which is sneaking up on people. I think it did that in 2022. They were preseason number 3 that year, despite being reigning national champs. So they've snuck up before. I think they would like to think they're doing that. I would certainly like for them to be able to do that here this year. The other thing about the Georgia appearance, which I thought was interesting, if you want to go back to, and I'm sure your audience and your folks have been saying this a lot, January, February, in the immediate aftermath of the Sugar Bowl, boy, the topic of Mike Bobo and the failings of the Georgia offense, fair or not, that's this major discussion. By my count, people are saying stuff all over the place, so you don't always know if you heard everything. It's really interesting how Georgia sort of, once again, kind of got in, got out. I don't know that stuff, which had been a big topic in the winter, I don't know that came up at all this week, and I'm a little bit surprised by that.
Why do you think that is? I mean, because you're referencing, I think I can kind of pinpoint some of why they're under the radar this year, just with the quarterback and all of that. But, I mean, to reference it happening previously coming off of a national championship, is it a Kirby does a good job of sort of avoiding the headlines? Or what do you think it is that allows Georgia to do that, even in years when they've been the champion?
I think there is some of that. I don't think that Kirby cultivates that. Georgia has a tendency to choose a quarterback that's a little bit like Gunnar Stockton. Like, Stockton doesn't come here and cultivate kind of a celebrity persona at all. Compare that even to, like, say, Diego Pavia from Vanderbilt, who's got a little bit flashier suit. He's giving more exciting answers. Like, Georgia has probably earned the reputation as it has of a team that kind of goes about its business a little more quietly. The other thing is, this is a big league now. There are 16 teams in this league. There are, a lot of really, large fan bases, notable personalities. And so some of the lack of attention on Georgia is the fact that the, cumulative attention just sort of gets spread across the board a little bit more. So
did you have that feeling when you were here that Texas was the big dog?
I mean, I certainly think they think that. And I think that I think there's still a little bit of a fascination with them on the part of the media. Look, I'll be honest with you. I don't think the media does a good job of covering Texas because Texas has been in the playoff the last 2 years. That's certainly true. Texas could win the national championship this year, but once again, to sort of speak on behalf of Georgia here, Georgia beat them twice a year ago. Yep. So, you know, there's this idea that Texas is reigning over something.
Right.
And they're not even the SEC champs. They're SEC runners-up here. So I think that there is an attempt to kind of give Texas to something, which they very may well earn. They're going to be preseason number one in all likelihood, but they have certainly not earned yet.
And that's what I was talking about earlier today. That was the feeling that when I was asking you about wanting Texas to succeed this year, that was the feeling I was trying to explain.
You did make that comment earlier. It feels like there's almost like a desire from the, I don't know, the big media, the media at large, whether it's the TV or whatever, to push them towards that because they think it's better for whatever. I don't know why it would.
So Georgia has Gunnar Stockton, Texas has Arch Manning. Now neither guy has played very much, but everybody knows who Arch Manning is. Whether he wants to be or not, he's a true celebrity. Texas is also a gigantic state. They're still new to the SEC, so you have every business incentive to make Texas feel really big. There's a newness factor. There's just a large quantity of people who are interested in Texas football, and the personalities, you know, by comparison, a little bit more interesting. But this is also a team that plays the same schedule did a year ago. Of the six teams in the SEC with the lowest projected win total, Texas plays five of them. Of the six teams with the highest projected win total, Georgia plays five of those. So, you know, Georgia plays a much more difficult schedule within the league than Texas does. And a year ago, Georgia still was able to win the SEC by doing so. You know, Texas just has been treated very kindly by the schedule makers now going into 2 years in this league.
When we talk about it, and again, like I think what Sark has done at Texas is impressive, and they've won a lot of games, and he's taken them to. The thing was always they have all these resources, and they're not getting much out of it. Yeah. He certainly has gotten a lot of wins out of it. I still just question when he's in a game where the talent is equal, or his team maybe even slightly more talented, but whatever, it's close.
Yeah.
I don't know how many of those games he's ever won. Like, and I, you know, maybe I'm a bit closer to it than others, having watched his first tenure as a head coach at Washington, where they won some big games when they weren't supposed to. They upset USC on the road, and they did some impressive things early. But then when those teams were kind of stacked at the end, they were still going 7-5. They didn't make the playoff until Chris Peterson took over.
Right. Well, the one thing I'll give him credit for, and this is without question, he has built the lines of scrimmage. And they got some offensive line they got to replace this year, but coming into the SEC, Sark, to his credit, got them SEC ready along the lines of scrimmage before they got there. The 2023 team that was still in the Big 12, really good defensive line, really good offensive line. That's what's required to win in the SEC. For a long time, the underachieving Texas teams, they didn't have those lines of scrimmage. Sark has made sure through recruiting, and by the way, they beat Georgia for two recruits this week, through recruiting and through everything else, they've made sure their lines of scrimmage are really strong. That's the number one reason they're going to be the preseason number one team, I believe. When it comes out in a few weeks.
What do you think about anything that Seggy said, anything specific while you were here?
I think the battle between the Big Ten and the SEC is still really interesting, and the fact that Sankey says, listen, if we stay to 12-team playoff, we're fine with that. The Big Ten's obviously challenging the SEC to go to an 9-game conference schedule, but it has been proven empirically that the SEC's 8-game schedule is more difficult than the Big Ten's 9-game schedule, and most SEC teams are playing the out-of-conference game anyway, so – you know, that's going to be the big narrative next week. Big Ten goes for its media days in Las Vegas. But, you know, listen, I think the SEC is well-founded on why it feels like it should be treated a little bit different by the playoff format moving
forward. Yeah, I do too. And, look, I whatever they want to do is fine. Like, one more SEC game is cool with me because it's one more SEC game. I would hope that it wouldn't cost, like, the Texas-Ohio State game.
Yeah,
you know, because I'm looking forward to that. Like, that's a non-conference game that SEC teams are scheduling because they only have the 8 conference games. Maybe that goes away, and I don't want that to go away.
Yeah, I think that's the ultimate dilemma, right? Because, like, it's been well-documented. Georgia's never played at Texas A&M. So if you don't play the 9-game conference schedule, you don't rotate through the league very well.
Right.
But if you do play the 9-game conference schedule, then there are probably less Texas and Ohio State. In 2030 or somewhere like that, Georgia's supposed to play against Ohio State. They have a home-and-home coming up. But if you're expanding your conference schedule, at least some of those big non-conference games are going to go away. And I think that Kirby's made it pretty clear. He likes the idea of playing some of these non-conference games too.
Oregon, Clemson, stuff like that.
Fun. Yeah, it's just really fun.
It's different and it's fun, and the audience for the game is obviously gigantic.
No doubt. Brandon, thank you.
Appreciate you being here.
As always, Brandon Adams there, Dog Nation Daily host. Follow him on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily as well.